If you've got your Bibles, go to the book of 1 Thessalonians. A few weeks ago, we started out a series on thankfulness, every good gift. By the way, the young people, we'll get to these in, just give me 5 or 10 minutes and I'll let you know where you chip in. Would that be okay? So hang in there with Mum and Dad, or who brought you along today. Got a one of the books in my my office is called The Character of Leadership. And I know you know that some leaders are characters, but this is about this is the stuff that makes up leaders. And it's by James Sarris et al. That's just, there's a whole list of researchers that put this together. But the neat thing is it's written around Australian leaders, and particularly management and CEOs. And it's titled What Works for Australian Leaders and Making It Work for You. It's a joint survey conducted through Monash University and the Australian Institute of Management, in which over 200 managers in Australia and business leaders related what character traits and virtues that they possessed. So, and they began to quantify these and list them, and so as the best of the best, that so what sort of character traits do these people have that would make them as successful as they have in business? And so they listed off responses, something like 15 character attributes regarded as the most important include respectfulness and fairness, compassion, spiritual respect, humility, courage, passion, wisdom, selflessness, integrity and honesty, all of those character traits that you'd sort of expect. But you know what wasn't in there? Did not get a mention. Thankfulness and gratitude. Didn't make it in the top 15 character traits of our top executives in Australia. It wasn't there. There's this sense of diminished gratitude, and it's not limited to our business leaders. Researchers also have found that our sense of entitlement continues, they use the word creep, so that gratitude is diminished because we feel more entitled in the Western society as a whole. And it's been replaced with privilege and right. So rather a deep sense of gratitude and thankfulness, we have a sense of right and privilege. Now that's Passmore and Oates if you want to look at that. So James, in James 1, which is where we were a few weeks ago, says whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow, and He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word, and we, out of all creation, became His what? Prized possession. I won't re-preach the sermon, but you know, you got some stuff that is your, you know, your prized possession that you, no one gets near. That's, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're God's prized possession. Your children, if you love Jesus, in fact, as God's creation, you're a part of His prized possession. James begins by acknowledging that they were experiencing trials. And it's interesting in the context of our world today. And if they weren't experiencing trials, they're about to be. And the context is difficult. In difficult times, they were to consider this an opportunity for joy. Trials. How are we to do that? That's what this series is about, and it's centered around verses 16 through 18 in this wonderful letter to James about what it is to be thankful and this attitude of gratitude. And I mentioned to you John Ortberg, a great book that says, when the game is over, it all goes back in the box. I like the title. He says, gratitude is the ability to experience life as a gift. It liberates us from the prison of self-preoccupation. Gratitude. So we choose to affirm that in all, life is good in Christ. We are out of all of creation His prized possession. So we affirm that today. And secondly, gratitude is recognizing the source of this goodness lies outside of ourselves and rests in God our Father, not in our capacity to produce, but in acknowledging that we are just stewards of what we have. We don't own stuff. We have stuff given to us by our Father to look after for a little while. And then He calls us home. Sarah spoke a few weeks ago how friendship and community are gifts God has given to us so that we can thrive and persevere in life. We're called to be thankful for the companionship that friendship brings and for the joy of friendship and community. So as we look at 1 Thessalonians today, and we're just bouncing in, picking up on a really familiar text, there's danger with familiarity. But Paul is the spiritual parent of the readers of this letter that he's writing to. And he was concerned for this young group of followers of Jesus at a place called Thessalonica. It's okay if you can't get your tongue around that, but that's where they were. Like a traveling father that was on the road, he longed to spend some time with his young family and his children back in Thessalonica. So he did all that he could to help them live right and stick to the right path, making sure they're getting good spiritual nourishment, protection from strangers like the Judaizers, and he wanted to calm their fears. It's a great book in times of anxiety. And so here it is, young people, if you've got your sheets. So there's four things that we're going to look at, four attitudes. Be kind, be joyful, always praying and giving thanks. Be kind, be joyful, always praying, giving thanks. 1 Thessalonians. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Yeah, the idea there is that he says, recognize them for what they are and do and are entitled to respect because of their office, what God has called them to. So I thought we'd just pause here for a little bit before we go on to our four main points, because Riley comes back in a week or two. And I just want to encourage you, because I'm not the lead pastor here anymore. I'm just a pastor. So Riley's in the lead role. If you're visiting with us, we're in transition. And the church has been really gracious. And we've got another pastor, which happens to be Riley's wife, as a children's pastor. So I just want to encourage you from this text, because it's hard for Riley to preach this text. I can. You can give me all the hammer you like. It's all right. But for us to give our pastors, what's the word? Recognize them for what they do. Honor those who are leaders in the Lord's work. Vincent says, your leaders in the Lord's work or over you in the Lord. And he says in verse 13, show them great respect. The Greek there is strong. It's not a suggestion. It says, hold them in the highest regard and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peaceably with each other. I love the way that there's not just a sense of unity and peacefulness amongst the leadership team, but amongst the leadership team and our congregation together. It's a blessed place to sit in. It really is. You've blessed us. You do. And it reminds us here of Hebrews 13:17. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they're accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy, not with sorrow, for that would certainly not be for your benefit. Two reasons, the writer of Hebrews says this. One is the nature of their work. They watch out for your souls, and they do good service to others. And you know what the last week was in America? Sorry, it's a different place over there. It was Pastors Appreciation. Actually, it's Pastors Appreciation Month. Can you ever try, you wonder what it would be like to try and get that in Australia? They do it over there. I look at sort of it mystically when it pops up in my feeds every year. You know, you folk just blessed our socks off when we had the appreciation idea. Look, I'm not looking for that. I'm just saying you do this well. And I want to encourage you in that because it makes a huge difference. And it'll make a huge difference for Riley particularly and for Naomi and for whoever the other pastor is that we're looking at calling to work with our youth and young adults. It makes a difference. We're talking about thankfulness today, and we'll get that to in a minute where he says, be thankful in all circumstances. But I was reading an article called Gratitude at Work. And this is the language. It's not a Christian article, but they use our language. It says, counting your blessings will benefit yourself and your organization, by a guy called Dr. Karras. When an employee believes the people they work for are grateful for his or her work, the employee will benefit by having an improved sense of worth to the organization. You know, when we look after our staff and our volunteers and the people in the life of the church, there's a blessing in that. That improved sense of worth actually leads to performance improvement, to use our business language. Therefore, benefiting the organization. So to be really blunt, you get better bang for your buck. Because your team are, that when there's a sense of this, the community we work in and we minister in, and there's a sense of gratitude and thankfulness, it's a lot easier to take those hard calls or those tough emails or sit by a hospital bed when someone's dying or visit people that are just cantankerous or whatever else it might be, or trying to manage a broken relationship or a broken marriage. But here's the thing, when as a church we take God at his word in relationship to honoring those who are over you and the Lord and your leaders, there are kingdom benefits. There really are. And I hope that we sit in that and embrace that in the moment, because that's taken a while. I remember once early in the piece here, I preached that message, and literally in walking into the foyer, someone said to me, good luck with that. Before I'd even left the building. Thankfully, that has changed. And this is a blessed church to do ministry in. Let me encourage you, as Riley comes back from holidays and Naomi, just bless their socks off. We're so grateful that they're with us. You and God's kingdom work will benefit when leaders feel that the people they work for are grateful for his or her work. And live peaceably. Now, let's move on. You kids, you nearly ready? Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with everyone. He just lists off all this stuff. Then in verse 15, so that no one pays back evil for evil, interesting in context, but always try to do good to each other and all people. So, try to do good to each other and to all people. Be kind. How? How do we be kind? Be kind to everyone by doing good. Out of the outcomes of gratitude is the ability not to be resentful, not to be bitter to those who are bad towards you. Who comes to mind when you think of someone that might have told tales on you or picked on you or I don't know, and you think of how you want to get back to them? Paul just says here to the Thessalonians, just be kind. Be kind. Don't return evil for evil. Be good to everyone. You know, there's some more research. Valet, in Wisdom of the Ego, found that those who are able to adapt to the difficulties of life involves being able to substitute bitterness and resentment towards a transgressor with, guess what, gratitude and thankfulness. If we are able to to adapt to the difficulties of life, it involves being able to substitute bitterness and resentment towards a transgressor with gratitude, actually, and acceptance. Now, in an audience like this, there are times where some of you may have been in abusive relationships, and we don't even know that. And sometimes a part of that abuse or violence in that relationship is that you can't do anything about it because it's played back to you that you're to be forgiving, you're to be kind, and all of those things. That's not what this is talking into. There are other passages that you go to that God will go in defense of you in that setting. This is not saying neglect at your own expense because you're in an abusive relationship. That's not what this is saying. But what it is saying is for us to remain healthier is that things like resentment and bitterness are really, for us to move through that, is gratitude helps us in that, where we can be grateful. Not necessarily for the circumstance. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 says, love is patient and kind. Romans 12, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Or as another version says, as much as depends upon you, be at peace with all people. Be kind. We must have missed kind because we're on to the second one. Joyful. Always be joyful. What's the opposite of joy? Well, joyful. Maybe if you're drawing there, you can draw some faces that are maybe happy faces, and then maybe think about what is the opposite of a happy face. By the way, joy is not necessarily happiness. They're two, a little bit different, but opposite of joyful might be sad, gloomy, miserable, dejected, unhappy, forlorn. You know, earlier in the chapter, in chapter 1, he talks about the joy of the Holy Spirit. There's something about being filled with God that gives us joy, even in spite of our circumstance. He carries this thought that to be filled with God is to be filled with joy, even though our circumstances might suck. They're just hard. Yet there's this inner sense of contentment that's not self-focused, but we find our joy in the giver of joy, which is God Himself. God wants His people to be joyful, and He gives them every reason to be. Our joy doesn't spring from our circumstances, but from the God who loves us in Jesus and fills us with His joy. James 1:2 says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity. So when you're in trials and troubles, that becomes an opportunity for what? Joy. That's tough. Jesus modeled this in Hebrews 12. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy that was awaiting Him. He endured the cross, disregarding the shame. So He knows the toughness in circumstances and the capacity to experience joy. Guess what? We got more research. There's really good research around this. McCulloch and Emmons, Davis. Regularly and deliberately expressing appreciation and genuine thankfulness improves your health and well-being. Did you know that? Regularly and deliberately expressing appreciation and genuine thankfulness improves your health and well-being. That's before you've even read the Bible. That's just purely from some other perspective. And listen to this, they add, including the strong positive emotion of joy. So if you're struggling with joy today, not that joy might be sitting next to you, but if you're struggling with joy, then try to consistently, by the way, you've been keeping your journals, haven't you? Yes? Your Thanksgiving journals? Good. Consistently and intentionally being thankful, it will result in a strong positive emotion of joy. Isn't that wonderful? That's how God made us. It really is. And sometimes we sit in our brokenness. Anyhow. Next one, verse 17, never stop praying. Always pray. You ever wondered how you can always pray? I mean, if you're driving down the road, you shut your eyes, and is that what he's talking about? No, it's not. Ryder Constable says, continual prayer is not prayer that occurs without any interruption, but prayer that continues whenever possible. It's living in an attitude of prayer. Prayer, by the way, is sometimes listening, sometimes it's communicating with words, sometimes it's sitting in silence in the presence of God. Sometimes we have too many words. Doesn't mean that we can't let God know our requests, but it's this idea of always prayer. Some of you got hacking coughs? You have, I hear them every now and then, which is fine. Hacking cough, you know, you just can't sort of, it's that dry throat thing that you're coughing all the time. That's the idea from the Greek here. That, so you know how you keep coughing and you have a glass of water trying to stop because you're sitting in a group of people and you don't want everyone else to think that you've got COVID, and so it gets really embarrassing, so you cough all the that hacking cough, that's how we're to pray. That's the idea of the word here in the Greek. It's this hacking cough attitude. So in everything. So my Jesuit friends, I got some really good discipline. So I'll begin the day with prayer. Somewhere in the middle of the day, sometimes I'll set an alarm and it might go off at 12, might go off at 1 o'clock. I'll just stop and I'll recenter. Whatever's going on in my day, I'll just bring it back together and try and think about where God is in the day and give him thanks. Or if I'm at a loss for stuff, I'll pray to him, and sometimes it's requests, sometimes it will just become centered, acknowledging that this is God's day, and sometimes the day just gets away with you. And so I have two or three points throughout the day where I try and stop and pause and bring it back together again. That works for me. Maybe you have another discipline you might try. Towards the evening again, in my mind, in my heart, try to bring it back together again. This idea of continually praying and giving thanks to God. So when you have that hacking cough, you know what that is. This is what Jesus would do. He would spend time at the beginning and particularly end of day in prayer. Paul says in Philippians 4, don't worry about anything. You say, oh, that's easy. Not. Instead, pray about everything, tell God what you need, and thank him for all that he's done. There it is. Then you'll experience God's peace. Has anything changed? Maybe. Maybe not. But something's changed in here, because you've brought something to God. You've prayed about it. And you thank him for what he's done. And then we experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, then we get to be thankful in all circumstances. Verse 18. For this is what? What is it? It's God's will. You know, often I have people say to me, Tony, I'm not sure what God's will is for my life. Read your Bible. There's a whole bunch of these. This is God's will. What's God's will? He wants you to be thankful. Why? Because it's good for you. And because every spiritual blessing that we have in the heavenly places, we have in Christ Jesus. And as James says, because every perfect gift comes down to us from our Father in heaven, so his will for us is that we are thankful and we live with hearts of gratitude. And you will be a better person because of that. You will emotionally feel better Spiritually, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the fact that God works everything together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Not mine, His. It's only that it's in His that I can be really thankful, because I just screw it up. Maybe you might as well. I don't know. I won't put that on you. But I'm thankful that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Thankfulness, gratitude, central to our capacity to pray, our ability to be joyful, and the likelihood of us being kind. The opposite is selfish, thankless, careless, demanding, dissatisfied. Thankfulness, you know, one writer said, that's why you've got lips. True. That's why you've got lips. Funny looking things, aren't they? Hebrews 13. Through Him, Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. That's why you got lips. So you can praise God and give Him thanks. So, after our first message, we gave you an exercise, keeping a Thanksgiving or a gratitude journal. Here's another job for you to do. I think we've got time. It is want what you have exercise. Want what you have. You can do this with your kids. It's a four-step approach, deeply spiritual. And you can use this to help you appreciate more of what you already have rather than longing for the things that you would like to possess. So what it is to appreciate more of what you already have rather than longing for the things that you possess. You see, sometimes we forget to appreciate what we have. I was on a walk in the Northern Flinders a few years ago, and we were self-sufficient, carrying all our stuff. And we'd been told that in our day's journey, we'd arrive where there's a creek bed and there would be fresh flowing water. And so it was over 30 degrees, 30 to 35 degrees. It was a hot day in September. We emptied our water bottles during the day, thinking that where we would get to, there would be water. And we arrived there and there was nothing. Just a puddle of water in the creek bed that was filled with galah droppings, because their little campsite was right above it, and there was this layer of scum across the top of, and that was the only water. And we were more than parched, we were dehydrated, and we sat there and thought, okay, plan B. You know what we did? We dug a hole. And we dug for about 2 feet deep and 2 feet square. We lined it with slate, because slate was everywhere up there. And then we sat back under a shady tree and had a snooze. By the time we opened our eyes, that 2 foot deep hole water had about 18 inches of filtered, beautiful water. But I can guarantee that we had an appreciation for water like what we didn't have before. So one of the things, when we have everything that we need all the time, we begin longing for something else that we've not got yet. And we forget to be thankful for that which we already have. We do that with God all the time. We think that God is not good enough, so we go somewhere else for favor or for love, or for affection, or stuff. So this exercise, Step one, identify your non-grateful thoughts. It might be, for example, why does it always rain on my birthday? Might be because my birthday's in July. What are some of your non-grateful thoughts? Then step two is formulate those grateful and supportive thoughts to counter your ungrateful thoughts. Turn them around. So maybe an ungrateful thought is someone else always gets the best jobs at work. So turn around that ungrateful thought and say maybe, well, I'm really grateful that they're doing really well and they've got some really good skills and I've got some really good skills and I'll be the best worker I can in the place I work. So instead of being ungrateful, you're turning that around to maybe some grateful thoughts, because that begins to write a different line in your if you use the idea of a vinyl, you remember vinyl records? You're creating tracks in your brain. So if you just go down the attitude of not being grateful and not being thankful, you just create a memory line in your mind until you begin to break that. Step three is substitute the grateful, supportive thoughts in step two for the non-grateful thought in step one, which is easy, isn't it? Step four, translate your inner feelings of appreciation. What's going on inside? Into outward action, thanking God for His every good gift. So you're changing an ungrateful thought into a grateful thought, and then you're flipping it and you're connecting with your inner feelings of appreciation into action by thanking God for that which you're grateful for. And you're building an attitude of gratitude. And when you can do that consistently, it will be really good for you, because that's what Paul's talking about. And when you get a whole family doing that and picking up on children's emotions, we'll begin to appreciate all that we have in Jesus Christ. So remember, I started out with the leadership stuff in the book that had 15 characteristics of leadership, and gratefulness wasn't there. I'm going to close with a eulogy today. Eulogy of Chuck Feeney, who was a businessman, died at the age of 92 this last week. American. But he was awarded the Honorary Companion of the Order to Australia. He gifted something like $600 million to Australian universities and medical research places. And he died broke at 92. In his lifetime, he gave away something like $6 billion plus. You see, he lived by the Irish proverb, there are no pockets in a shroud. I'd never heard that before. But there's wisdom in that. There's no pockets in a shroud. So he didn't even tell his business partner that his profits he was giving away. In fact, the companies that he gave it to, the condition was that he didn't let anybody know who gave it to him. So he went through most of his life anonymous in all that he was giving. And it was out of gratitude and thankfulness, because he came from not much. And he was blessed. And so Feeney set out to go for broke. And 2 years before he died, he was. But in his life, he was all the more richer. Thankfulness. Be kind. Be joyful. Always praying. Giving thanks. And you and your world will be better for it. And it's the right thing to do. It's the will of God for us today. Amen. Father, thank you. There it is. Thank you. In however it is that you're speaking into our heart today, there's going to be some here that are finding it difficult to be thankful, because there might be so much stuff going on in their life that there's a struggle that's taking place. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit, who is the giver of joy, may in the midst of what life looks like for them, They're able to rise above their circumstance. And I thank you, Father, that most of all that we can give you thanks today because Jesus Christ is our Saviour. And he calls us from our brokenness into wholeness. And he takes our sin, as that song said earlier before, that he casts them as far as the east is from the west. And it's because of that that we can have real joy in our heart. And we can know not just that we can be thankful, but we can know the Father who gives us every perfect gift. So today, Father, I pray if there are any here that don't know Jesus, and this message has just gone over the top of their head, and maybe there's something in here that they just say, I want to hear more of that. I want to know who this Jesus is. Then, Father, I pray your Holy Spirit will just make himself known to them now. Speak with somebody about what it is to know God in Jesus Christ. That he can take us in our brokenness and we can know our King and our Saviour. And allow him to lead us and rule us. So Father, help us to be kind. Help us to live in your joy. To be always in fellowship with you. And ultimately, giving thanks. Amen.